Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
I'm always on. It says you got to be ready in season, out of season for the hope that you have. You got to be always on. And sometimes it's a mental thing. It's like, okay, I know I'm tired because I am. I couldn't get to sleep last night. I had coffee too late. And then I was up super late, couldn't sleep, rolling around, thinking about things, thinking about this message. And I was yawning a little bit before we started today. But I'm on. Are you on? Not really, huh? You guys are on. We're always on. And I'm so glad to see you here this morning. Father God, we just thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity to come and be amongst you and in your midst. Thank you, God, that there's somebody calling out to you this morning. I just have a vision now of somebody on their knees with their hands raised, calling out to him this morning. Even if it's in the spiritual and you're not really doing it in the natural, but you are calling out on your knees, he's answering. And we thank you for it, God. He hears you. God, we also want to bless this message. We know it's from you, and all the good things are from you. And we just ask right now that you would bless it. I ask that that they would retain all that you have for them today. And even more importantly than that, may at the end of this message, they fall more in love with you. That you are more famous in their lives at the end of this message because of what you have done and who you are. That things that are on their eyes, things that are on their ears, things that are on their heart will be falling off right now so that they can see you, hear you, and feel you in a way that they've never had before in their lives. Because you are good. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. One more thing before we get started. As we were singing, It Is Well With My Soul, there was a song that came out of Bethel about 8 years ago now, and there's one sentence in there that kept on coming through my mind. You know, it is well with my soul, but before she starts singing that part, there's a sentence she says, a verse she says, far be it from me that I don't believe, even when my eyes don't see. Somebody needs to hear that this morning. Even when your eyes don't see, be it far from you that you don't believe. Believe even when your eyes don't see. Trust in him even when your eyes don't see. God, let that rest on that person right now. That they see even when they don't, and that they believe. Wow. Are you guys excited today? I mean, are you guys excited today? Yes, yes. Woo! We're talking about hunger once again. Hunger in this time is a good thing. As we conclude our series, Hungry Homes, with our key verse, Matthew 5:6. Do you guys know what that verse is? This is the fourth week. Do we know what it is? Can we say it out loud as I say it now? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. But it don't stop there. For what? For they shall be satisfied. And as I was writing it down this week, God had me highlight that very end. for they shall be satisfied. So what he's saying here is, when you hunger and thirst for righteousness, and you go after that, you hunger for it. There's a hunger in your heart. There's a hunger in your soul for righteousness and to see God and to go after the things of God. He promises here, if you do that, you shall be satisfied. And the Greek word for that is kortazo, kortazo. And it literally means to be filled. You will be filled if you hunger and you thirst for righteousness. It also talks about God providing, satisfying you, like he provided manna for his people. And they were filled. Supernatural. Supernatural this morning. Whew. So awesome. Our message this week, this is an awesome title. Today's title is called Hungry Hippos. Hungry Hippos. And if you're my age, which is, we won't go there, but you'll know when you grew up, there was a game called Hungry Hippos. Hungry, Hungry Hippos. And it's a very simple game because it's for the little kids. So what it is this board type of thing, and there's literally little hippos on the side, and there's a little pool in the middle, and you drop little balls in there, and the idea of it is you got a certain time that you start rapping on this thing, and the little mouse come out, and you see how many balls you can get. Hungry hippos. Why do I say hungry hippos? Because God gave it to me. But also, because being hungry for the things of God is seriously fun when you know you have. And our key verse for today, say key verse. Yes. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. And you're like, wait a minute. What in the world does that have to do with being hungry? I didn't know at first either until last week. I didn't know what the key verse was for my message. I knew the name. I knew Hungry Hippos because being hungry for God is fun. But it's serious, so it's seriously fun. But when Pastor Hannah was preaching last week, I forgot exactly where she was saying it in the message, but then it hit me. We can eat when we know we have the victory. When we know we have the victory. I can be hungry for the things of God. When you know you are loved, then you can be hungry from a place of victory and not a place of victimhood. I know from my past, when I was playing a sport, say like Little League baseball or football, when we would win the championships, because we were good, you know. In Lansing, you have to be good, especially if you want to play football. You have to be good. You don't want to be losing there. So when we win, sometimes when we win big games, we would go out to eat afterwards. And I tell you what, when you're eating from a place of victory, boy, you can eat. I don't know if you've ever been there before. If you've won something, you can eat because you're flying high. Oh, I thought I was hearing something. It was crazy. We're getting all kinds of things. But But in all these things, we are overwhelmingly conquerors through him who loved us. And what I want you to do is when you see that verse again, because we will get to it again, but in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. I want you to circle that word overwhelmingly, because the Greek word for that one is hypernokeos, I think it's something like that. Hypernokeos. It says we more than win. It's hyper. That thing means it's more. It's not just I just win. It's not that I just win the race by 1 second or 1/10 of a second. It's that the person I'm racing against, I beat him down. That's how good this victory is. That's how much overwhelmingly God has given you in your life. That's the place that you are now seated at, is in a place of victory. And you didn't just win. You didn't just get over the line just in time. You overwhelmingly conquer. Through who? Through him who loves you. Know that. I overwhelmingly conquer. How? Because he loves me. We just did communion a few minutes ago. Communion is a celebration feast. And I want to start here at first. I want to go to John chapter 13 and verse 1. If you have your Bibles, please go there right now. We're going to John chapter 13, and we're talking about verse 1 here. You know what's so cool about this? You know, this celebration, this Passover feast that we're about to talk about. This is one of the darkest periods in the disciples' lives. Jesus is telling them about what he's going to do. I mean, this is a couple times he's done so, but it really comes into their minds now. And Jesus, he makes a little promise here. He says in verse 1, he says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he would depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." And as I was thinking about this, I was like, oh, that is a powerful thing. Jesus loved them to the end. And we just got done talking about how we can be overwhelmingly conquerors through him who loved us. And it says Jesus is loving us to the end. And in Matthew chapter 28, when he sends out, he goes, "Go into all the world." And he says, "You're going to go out to all the nations and disciple and baptize them." And people are like, "How are we going to do this?" And Jesus says, "Lo, I am with you always." That's a promise of the Lord. So here in chapter verse 13 is at the end of his ministry. And yesterday I was watching something on the wedding that Jesus attended right at the beginning of John. He starts his ministry at a feast. He starts his ministry at a party. He starts his ministry, and it says right at the very end in John chapter 2, or not the end, but into that story there, there's a cool little thing it says. You don't have to go there, but I just want to say it. He says, "This is the beginning of the signs of Jesus did in Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him." So he starts his ministry with a party and a feast. Wow. His first signs. And they saw that stuff and they believed in him. And this is after he's got some of the disciples and they're with him at this party. And at the end of that, "Hello again." It says that the disciples, he manifested his glory and his disciples believed in him. Hi again. Passover is a feast of celebration, not of victimhood, even though it may look the opposite in your life right now. When we look at things from a place of victory, we can be hungry for the things of God. So what does that look like? When you're happy, like I was when I had these championship dinners, what does it mean to eat from a place of victory, to be hungry after the things of God? I'm going to be talking now in the natural so we can see things in the spiritual. Because Jesus uses example of things in the natural so our minds can get wrapped around the things of the supernatural that he has to tell us. So we look at our own lives. So when you in the natural want to eat, what does that look like? When you eat from a place of victory, when you're eating from a place where you feel good and you feel wanted and you feel great, what does it look like? Everything tastes good to you when you're eating from a place of victory. You eat things that you've never tried before. You are experiencing it. You want to do it. You want to eat and eat a lot. You can't get enough in a good way. Because if you've ever been to like a cool banquet, yesterday I was watching this little YouTube video on the biggest buffet in the world. It's not that far away. I mean, it's not soups close, but it's not super far either. It's in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. It's called Shady Maples. It houses 2,000 people at maximum. It's a massive buffet. And it looked awesome. And if it looks good, eat it, and it all looks good to me. You can't get enough in a good way. You live to eat. And you're looking for when you're able to eat again. I was going to bring some examples this morning, but I ate them all. I did eat most of them. See, my favorite foods, pepperoni, chicken wings, Mountain Dew, and my favorite candy ever since I was a wee little lad, Smarties. That's why I got so intellectual. Because I love Smarties. And these are the foods that I could eat every day because I tell you what, for a long time, I did eat them every day. When I had a business over in Cortland, I used to go to the local store and they used to be able to make sandwiches for you. So I would have a pepperoni sandwich with a pickle, a side of chips, and I'd have a stick of pepperoni and Mountain Dew every day. Because I love it. People are like, what? There are certain things in life that you like. And people say, I don't think you could eat this every day. And you, like for me, like I really like Chinese food and Indian food, but I don't know if I could do it every day. Pepperoni, chicken wings, Mountain Dew. Yeah, I could. To top it all off, Smarties that I mixed with my Mountain Dew. You guys have never done that? That's awesome. Put in your stuff, I promise you, change your life. Yeah. Hannah says I got to keep going. I was on a riff though. You see, being a hungry hippo is fun, and it is a good thing to eat all you can. When you're going after the things of God, be like the hungry hippo, and you hammer that thing as fast as you can and get all you can from God. This is an awesome thing. I think sometimes because the way the world is and stuff right now, everything is so serious all the time. And if you let it, it'll get to you. It will get to you. And I'll get to this in a few minutes in a more way. But if you let that stuff get to you, no matter how much you eat the food or how much food you have of what you like, no much pepperoni I have or whatever it is, if I let the things of this world get to me, I can't eat it. And the same goes for the spiritual food of God. No matter how good you hear it is, no matter how much I tell you it's good, or Pastor Hannah or anybody else tells you, if you see yourself not from a place of victory, not from up here looking down, victorious, but you see yourself down here, just barely getting through, no matter what I tell you, you won't eat of it. We will want to grow in our hunger for the things of God when we seek Him from a place of victory and not a place of survival. Because that's what happens when we start seeing the things of this world and we start listening to the lies. Instead of thriving, like the name of this church, when we just are thriving or just are surviving, just barely getting through, you won't have a hunger. But when you see yourself as God sees you, despite the circumstances, despite the situations you are facing and have faced, it will not inhibit you from growing in the things of God. But when we take our eyes off the eternal victory we have in Jesus, our appetite becomes small, and sadder still, the things of God become less appealing. So the things you like of God, when you take your eyes off of Him and your place in Him, the things He offers you become less appealing to you. So you find yourself eating it less and sacrificing and looking at yourself more. That's not a place where we want to be. We want to eat a lot. But there are times when we can't. When you're eating from a place of survival or victimhood, you eat to live. You barely get enough to get through. You eat very little. You force down what you can do. I know for me, when I get nervous, I can't eat. There are some people that can eat when they get nervous, and there's some people who can't. I happen to be one. When I get nervous, I can't even look at food. I can't do it. So I have to try to force it down. You believe food is scarce, that there's not enough to go around. When you have these lies in your mind, you believe the good things of God, what you hunger for Him, there's not enough to go around. You become unwilling to share what you have with others because you become self-focused instead of God-focused. And when you do that, when you're God-focused and you know that you can never be hungry enough to get all that God has for you, when you have that in your mind, you start spreading it around. You're like, hey, did you hear about this? Did you read about this in your Bible? Do you know about the name of Jesus? Do you know who He is? Have you sang and praised and worshiped Him today? You spread it around. But when you see yourself as a victim, you don't. Because you believe there's not enough to go around. There's not enough. If I have God take His love off of me and try to give some to you, that means there's less for me. And I can't handle that. And you hide away. You don't want to be out. We get tired, we don't face anything, we get scared of the what ifs, we get nervous, and we hurt. And when you hurt, you can't eat. And when you see somebody hurt, you can't eat. This brings me to my next story. And this is a good one. Good thing you guys are all sitting down. You're going to be standing at the end of this one. So, like I said earlier, I went to Lansing School District. And when I was in middle school, they had this thing called Activity Night. And that would mean that the little middle schoolers, which I was one, we got to go to the high school. And we got to have a fun night, an activity night. So that means a whole bunch of things there. So there's like basketball. We get to play on the basketball that the high schoolers get to play on. And I was looking up to those guys. And we get to do all these games. You come. But one thing that happened there when I got there the first time, and I didn't know they had this to begin with. I come in there with my other cousin. And we're like bopping in. We're like, this is cool. This is cool. And we see that there's pizza. And I love pizza. We see that there is pizza on the table. So we, Yes. So we get in there, and you're like, we strolling in like this because we're so cool. And then we get to the thing, we pop our little dollar down on that table, and we say, I need a piece of pizza. I love it. So as we're eating, and we got out to the door. There's like in Lansing High School, the cafeteria is right here. The doors are. And then it goes into the main place, the gymnasium. So me and my cousin were sitting there, and we're eating as fast as we can. And all of a sudden, a group of people start rushing in. And all of a sudden, this kid sits down on the table. And I'm like eating my pizza like this. Good thing we're not eating right now. This kid plaps his arm down on the table. And I tell you what, it looked like a Z. It went boop, boop, boop. His bones was all broken up. I'm moving forward. I take one bite and I see that. Not hungry anymore. When you hurt, when you see somebody else hurt, you become less hungry. That was a very extreme version, but when you see it, you can't eat. When we're sad, we tend not to eat the things of God. And I don't want that for you guys. I know there's a lot of people in this room dealing with a lot of different things that I can't comprehend. But the great thing about that is I don't need to comprehend it because He does. There's a lot of things that we face in this world. There's a lot of things we have to overcome. But we are overcoming with a victory of Him because He loves us. Amen. Okay. So how do we get this victory? Where does it come from and what does it look like? Can you guys please turn to Romans chapter 8? We're going to start in verse 31. Who's the first? Who's going to win? Did I win? I think I did. I win. I was there first. Later. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? When I've heard these verses in the past, and you think about it, it's like, wait a minute, there's a lot of things that can be against us, right? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him over for us all, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things? Who will bring charge against God's elect, God's chosen, God's people? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? If there was anybody who could condemn us, it would be Jesus. But see what Jesus does here. He says, Christ Jesus is He who died. Yes, rather He who was praised, who is at the right hand of God, And what does he do for us? Instead of condemning us, what does he do here? He says, who also intercedes for us. He pleads for us. He pleads our case. He goes before the Father on our behalf. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake, we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Here's the verse. But in all of these things, so everything he just said, persecutions, hatred, all those things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. You can go after the things of God. When you know that to be true, and it's not just head here knowing it, it's here knowing it. And that's a whole perspective change in your life. And just a little thing, what are some of these things that we can hunger after? And this is just a small list. This is just a beginning list. But it's praying and worshiping. How much praying are you doing lately? Are you hungry to pray? Are you hungry to worship? Are you reading your Bible and fellowshipping with other believers and serving God, serving the church, and giving generosity? Those are just a few things to hunger after God for. I know for me lately, it's hungering after his worship. Because reading his word comes easy to me. But sometimes with worship, it doesn't come as easy. It's not that I don't want to worship him. That's not it. But like Hannah and Pastor Brian and everybody who's on the worship team, they have a certain God-given passion that's what they talk about. That's what they think about is worshiping. They'll even come every week with new bands and new songs that I've never heard of. And they're like, dude, did you hear this? This is so cool. This is awesome. No, I didn't hear that. I don't know who they are. But what about God? Is he laying on your heart now to hunger more for? He wants us to go from glory to glory. What are you hungering for? What mind shift, what mindset do you have that keeps believing that you don't belong at the table of the feast of God? What lie do you believe that keeps you from being hungry for the things of God at the feast table with Jesus? There's a mindset that needs to be changed. We stand in a place of victory. No more do we sit in a place of victimhood or striving or surviving. We thrive here. We thrive in him. How so? Not because of anything I have done or you have done, but it's all because of him loving you and what he has done on the cross for you. So you can eagerly be hungry hippos for the things of God because you're sitting and standing in a place of victory. You have the victory in him. Amen. Well, hungry hippos. God, as we close, you guys can stand if you want. Yes, you do. You want to stand. Thank you, God, that we are in a place of victory now because of what you've done on the cross. Thank you, God, that we're in a place of victory because you love us. Thank you, God, that now we can have a supernatural hunger for your ways and your things, Father God, to praise you, to worship you, to read your word, to give generously, and to serve. Some people in this room are crying out, how can I serve? How can I serve? Just come and get one of us, and we'll show you how you can serve. And some of you are saying, like, I don't know how to read my Bible. Come to me and I'll help you. Some of us are saying, I don't know how to worship properly. Is there a proper way? Come and get a hold of one of us. Don't let anything stop you. There's a desiring that is like, and a desperation that can be seemingly bad sometimes. But when you come with a hunger, a godly hunger, there's a good desperation. I am desperate for this because I want to be fed from God. And you want that desperation. Yes. Ooh. And there's people here right now who are desperate for a healing hand of God. I don't know what you're dealing with right now. I don't know where you're standing at right now, but I know in this place, there is somebody that needs a healing right now in the name of Jesus. And you need to come forward right now and get that healing. You need to come forward and be desperate in a good way for the healing that you and he want for you. And as we end, if that's you, and I know there's more, come forward. But I also want to bless you now in the name of Jesus. Be hungry for him. Be unashamed of being a hungry hippo, that you want and need everything that God has for you. Seek after it. It says if you go and you seek and you knock, he will open the door. He will show you his face. And he will sup with you. So today, call after him. Go after him in a hungry way and be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.